kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, I want us to look in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and I'm going to be reading from verses 14 through to 21. 14 through to 21, I'm primarily going to be looking at verse 19 and possibly 20. But we're looking at Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Praise God. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So I want really today to look at verses 18 and 19, but just to recap and lead into this, here Paul is speaking to this spiritual church at Ephesus. It's spiritual, it's doing well, but it's lacking spiritual insight. And wherever we lack in spiritual insight or understanding, the Lord will work until we get a knowledge, an understanding. And it's all about the mystery being revealed. There are many mysteries to learn with Almighty God. And the nature of them is that it's not revealed to all, but to those who walk on with God, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, God is going to reveal more and more so that you experience the love of God, because that is the ultimate and that is the emphasis that he's bringing out here. And if we look back in verse 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he reveals humility, worship, a bowing of the knee, this apostle. So he emphasizes this, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he's revealing in this mystery, not only to the church at Ephesus, and of course this would go to other churches, but he's revealing the whole family of God, both in heaven and on earth. That includes all the great saints, the patriarchs, Adam and Eve themselves also. This is what he's talking about, and he's revealing this mystery as he opens up, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So he's revealing here how the Holy Spirit has to strengthen, and he always strengthens first in the inner man. And of course, He may use the trials and testings and temptations in which to do it. But notice it's always a strengthening in the inner man, in the heart, in the spirit. This is what he's referring to. These are the areas that you can't touch tangibly. You know they're working, you know something's happening, but you can't actually put your hand physically on this. But it's a knowing what God is working, how he's strengthening me with might through his spirit in the inner man. For what purpose? He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So he's showing the emphasis of this, that we dwell with Christ, with one another, in faith. This is why we preach faith, the deeper life, being rooted and grounded in love. What love? God's love. God's family is a family of love. That's what he's stressing here. And then he goes on, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The emphasis of the deeper life is experiencing the fullness of God. And brothers and sisters, this is what God is doing. This is the work he's doing with his remnants in these closing days. But we note there's some interesting things that he says here back in verse 8, all of which we've just talked about, that you may be able to comprehend. In other words, you may be able to understand, that you will experience with all the saints. So it means the saints that God has placed you with together in the body of Christ, that none will be left out, that you may experience, comprehend with all the saints, as well as all the saints that have gone in the past, all the saints in the Old Testament as well. What is the width, length, depth, and height? Now, this is really what I want to talk about today. He's using the word breadth or width. He's using the word length. And he's using the word depth. And this is all to be found in redemption, in salvation. We are to experience what the apostle talks about here. You see, he's already been building up on the previous verses to what he wants to say. So he raises first this word breadth, or it means width. And the understanding of this means something to a great extent. Or we could put it to where it's the opposite ends of the earth. It can't be physically grasped, but we know. We are aware that there is a width, a breadth, even though we can't grasp it physically ourselves. That's the idea. That's the understanding of what he's trying to expound here. Well, we then go over, don't we, where we see the love of God has dimensions and it can be measured. We have in each of us a measure of God's love that is to be experienced more and more. Now, we cannot grasp that measurement, but we are aware that we can receive more and more from God. That is what the deeper life in the Spirit is all about. You see, to some saints, They don't see the love of Christ like this. You see, there isn't really anything solid or substantial. But the Apostle Paul says differently here. He's saying it's real, it's substantial, it has measurement. And the question he raises is, do you know this? That is what he's saying. He's using this word breadth or width to describe about the love of God. You know, it's like, if you like, driving on a road. As I was preparing this, I felt the Lord gave me an impression. Now, roads can have different widths to them. You can have a road that's very wide. We can go on motorways, and there are three or four areas on the road that you can travel. But then you find that there can be a narrow road. Now, these broad roads, we can relax, we're confident. We can just put our cars in cruise and we can just go along. But when you come to a narrow road that becomes very narrow, what happens? You start to become cautious. You're really holding that steering wheel. You're driving with care. You may bring down your speed. So you are aware that this is much more narrow and I have to drive with caution. Well, let's take that over to the Spirit. You see, we do that with God's love. And we need to experience the love of God, the width or the breadth of God's love. And there are some believers who are cruising along on this wide, wide road, enjoying the width of it. And there are other Christians who are driving so cautiously on this narrow, narrow road. And that's their understanding of God's love. And this is what the apostle is trying to emphasize here. You see, the love and faith in God has width. His love is so great, so vast, that he has provided through the atonement. He has provided his love at Calvary. That is the love of God demonstrated at the cross. How can you put any width or breadth to that? You can't. We're told that there's no beginning, no end with Almighty God. So where do you start? It's so vast, it's so big. And so the apostle here is trying to describe this experience, this mystery to the church at Ephesus. And God is doing the same with us. And so the love and faith that is in God, it has width. And this love protects us. It preserves us. This love saves us. This love heals us. This love directs us in our path. This love blesses us. And you can just go on and on adding to this list. But the question is, what is your experience of this love? Is this love just driving along a very narrow road? Or are you experiencing the breadth and length of this love like on a big motorway, driving along with ease? There are Christians who do not experience God's love. And this is what the apostle is raising up here in Ephesians. They know a lot of doctrine. They know a lot of theology, but they do not know always the author of that which they study and read. And it is tragic. And the apostle doesn't want the Ephesians, who are very blessed. It is a blessed church, enriched. But it is not experiencing these mysteries that are to be revealed through the Holy Spirit to the believer. And that is why he refers to it may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So we're talking about the width of God's love. This is what we're talking about, or its breadth. We get an inkling, don't we, of God's love when we turn to John, the Gospel of John, and Jesus' priestly prayer that he prayed before going to the cross in John 17. And when you look at this in the light of what we're talking about, you'll begin to understand that this mystery has to become our experience. And Jesus prays this very prayer for us. And let's take this up in John 17. Jesus spoke these words and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given me authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." So the Father has given Christ authority over your flesh and my flesh. Now, isn't that good news? Wow. Because that is the problem we have, is the flesh. And he's given him all authority over our flesh. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So he's going back to glory. He's done the work. He's fulfilled. He's now has control. He's has authority over the flesh, because it was in the flesh that man sinned, that disobeyed. He's now fulfilled. He's done it. All he needs to do now is go to the cross. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world, that were yours, that they were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which I have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come forth from you, and that they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. So note how Jesus prays. He is not praying for the whole world. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, O Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So notice here what he's praying. The Holy Spirit comes back and to work this within each of us. And he goes on, while I was with them In the world I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That is the most profound prayer in the Bible, that is. There's no two ways about it. That is completely, utterly inspired by the Holy Spirit as his Father speaks through him. But here we see exactly what the apostle is talking about with regard to the love of God. This is what he's working within us, to keep us, to preserve us, to sanctify us, to preserve and keep us in this world, that none should be lost. And this is all done by the love of God. And this is what he wants us to experience. This is this understanding of this breadth, this width of God's mighty love. Now we have to remember that the breadth, depth and height is God's dealings with us. That is what he's fundamentally talking about here. You see, this isn't about just the knowledge of God's love. There are many who have knowledge of God's love. Some have gone to theological college and they have studied about God's love. But this is not what the apostle is talking about. You see, too many have few experiences of God and his love. And this is the problem. This is what he's getting to. You see, many only get their big toe wet with regard to this vast ocean that we should swim in. Most just get their feet or their toe wet, and yet there's an ocean in which to swim in. And there's a wading out until you no longer can feel your feet touching the ground anymore. And then you find you begin to swim. That's the supernatural side of God. That's the love of God taking over when no longer you can feel the ground anymore under your feet. It's called walking by faith. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, this love is Christ's love? That is what he spoke about there in John 17. It's not your love. It's not you trying to do this, trying to love your enemy. Of course, we are to do it. This is talking about Christ's love in you, which he prayed. So, how far do you go with this? How much do you experience this? Well, we can't really grasp it. We have aware of its dimension, its measurement, but we can't grasp it because it's so great, it's so big in this life. And remember, it's not a concept. You know, it's not wrong, but it's good to delve into these mysteries. And this is what we're doing today. It's good to delve into these mysteries that are being revealed to us, because it stops us from being shallow. And God doesn't want shallow believers. He wants believers who are experiencing the love of God to such an extent that they are beginning to experience the width, the length, the depth, and the height. That's what this is all about. As he says back in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where? In the inner man. And that's where it always is. That's where it has to start. And he says that he would grant you. You say to me, well, has he granted me this? Yes, we've just read you that in John 17. That's the prayer, his priestly prayer. So it is granted to the believer. For what purpose? For the riches of his glory, that he may be glorified in us and even in our flesh. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. This is why we preach the deeper life, for this very purpose. What is what the promise he gives in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, where he speaks to the church at Pergamos. And listen to what he says at the end. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. This is talking about this secret love that no one else knows. This is what the apostle is trying to impart to these Christians, the mystery of God's love being revealed. And here is the promise to those who overcome. This is why we're overcomers. It's a secret love that no one else knows. We press in for this. We press in for these blessings. There is a secrecy to be enjoyed and to be blessed with God. There is a secrecy that each one of us has with God, his love, to be experienced and enjoyed, that is not for anyone else. God's love is so great that there is something of God's love he's going to share with you that's not to be shared with anyone else. Did you know that? Because that is what this is saying here. A new name written, which no one except him who receives it. You have received something from God that no one else has received, brothers and sisters. And this is the love the apostle refers to. It's that hidden manna. And that's why we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. Because love understands love. You don't have to question when love is present. When the love of God is there, you understand it. You may not be able to grasp it, but you understand it. And that is the basis of why we get together, why we have fellowship, why I preach the gospel, for that very purpose. And I go back again, that this is what he wants us to understand. It's width. We're going to next time look at the length and depth and height and so on. But at the moment, that's what we're looking at today. So we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love, because love understands love. And that's why you can then begin to appreciate the Songs of Solomon. And what does it say in the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5? Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. There you are. Are you beginning to get an understanding of this mystery? You want more and more and more of it. That is the nature of God's love. And this is what the apostle is describing this to us. We experience its power. Did you know the love of God is with power? So many of God's people and the house of God want power today. They want a manifestation of God's power. And I'm all for God's power. I really am. And we need to see the power of God in these closing days. But this is the key to it. It comes through and by the love of God and the saints who are consumed with the power of his love. And then it's the strength as well. So it's power and strength. And this is why man's love is completely incapable of experiencing this love. The world cannot experience this love out there, because they want a love that ministers to their emotions, their feelings, their flesh. This isn't the love that God ministers to us. I've already read it to you back in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, the heart. That is where he places it, brothers and sisters. And then what are we told? Out of our innermost beings flows those rivers of living water. And those waters live because it's the love of God. That is what it's about. But also, as I bring this to a conclusion, this love grows. This love matures. And this is why we are maturing into sons and daughters of God. You cannot remain children. You cannot remain on the milk of the word. You have to move on to the solids of the word. And the solids of the word start to perfect and work this love within our hearts, within the inner man. Because otherwise the world will not know. They will not know how much theology you know. They will not know how many verses you have memorized. That can all have a place. They will only know through the love of God. And we must allow that to be worked in our hearts, because your faith needs it. The trials of your faith needs it. Your everyday walk in this life needs it. Your trials and your temptations need it. The trials of your faith need it. That's why faith worketh by love. You cannot leave it out. And that's why you have the great chapter in Corinthians 13. You've read it many times. Many times. And so the apostle here, back in the book of Ephesians, he is stressing, he's laboring that they will experience this mystery revealed. what I have just read to you in Revelation 2:17. That you experience something of God's love that is revealed to you and you only. It's no good revealed to anyone else. It would fall on deaf ears. But it is right for you and it is right for me. And this is what I believe God is bringing FGA and other saints around the world. This is the work he wants to do so that we stand in this closing day that gets us ready for the coming of the Lord. So we see the width, the length, the depth, the height. These are all terms the apostles using that you are to experience in the inner man. And what do? We make ourselves available. We walk each day with him. We yield our lives over to him, that it is his will and not our will. And we put our total trust in him, that work which he hath begun, he will complete and finish in each of us. And that is why it is a walk of faith. This can only be achieved and done. But as the apostle says in verse 14, he says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We likewise keep our knees bowed in humility, in brokenness. We allow God to work that in and through us. There cannot be any pride, any selfishness, anything of self. We keep in that attitude. And then God will begin to do it. Because that is the heart of God's family. Where our true unity and fellowship comes is because everyone desires to bow that knee. And that's why he then goes on to say in verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. They are named because they desired to bow the knee in humility before Almighty God. What for? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. It has to always start first in the heart, the inner man. Your faith does not come from your head. Your faith to believe and to believe in the promises of God comes from the heart. And that is why I'm always saying as I close, you have to know whether you are in faith or not. Because if it is in the heart, faith knows what to do. It doesn't question. It does it. But if it is in the head, then it's questioning. It's wavering, not sure. There's the difference. And how is this all done? By God's love being worked and perfected in our hearts. That is why God is going to have a people in these last days who are going to walk by faith and not by sight, or by the arm of the flesh, or by relying upon man, because we're beginning to see very clearly all these things that we have relied on in man, you no longer can any longer. Hallelujah. So there we are, brothers and sisters, the breadth, length, depth and height, and all this is to be found in redemption.
Let him in constancy follow.